Not too long ago, I had the pleasure of retracing some hallowed footsteps. Back in the days when I'd barnstorm up and down beautiful Interstate 95. Interstate 95. The magic ribbon of concrete. Thousands of Stuckey signs. A living testament to the slenderness of mortality amongst armadillos. Where possibly the only consolation for the weary traveler is the thought of rolling over in the middle of a pleasant dream and a Holiday Inn and putting a quarter in the relaxicizer machine on the bedside table and through some miraculous short circuitry blowing up every south of the border sign between Santee, South Carolina and Fayetteville. Fayetteville, beautiful Fayetteville, North Carolina. The soldier boys at Fort Bragg call it Fatalville. Fayetteville, home of the ubiquitous mobile home retail outlet showroom. Stereo discount houses on every block and pawn shops on every corner and every third door. They've got porno houses and massage parlors. All the Baptist churches up in Fayetteville have SWAT teams. Burn out two or three of those joints a month. The Lords of London won't touch them. Well, there I was in days of yore playing in a little club in Fayetteville, a place called the Old Gaslight. There was an old boy hanging on to the bar, judging from his lantern-jawed, underslung, wall-eyed, and generally tatter-ran appearance was what the folks down home characterized as being sorry. Well, sorry is as sorry does, I always say, but this guy was eat up with it. You know what it is to be sorry? In the Coochie Valley, sorriness is a cosmic state. It's like you ascend to sorriness, like from station to station through light. Down home, some of the boys talking, one of them said, "Well, I'll be 53 years old next month. I reckon I'll get married. I'm tired of holding my stomach in." Now that's sorry. Some of the boys sitting around Arendelle's talking, and one of them says, "Well, now that man has put fellow man on the moon and he's gotten out and walked around and taken samples of the ground and brought it back home with him to analyze, what is there left for mortal man to do?" The other guy said, "Well, take somebody up there with you for the weekend." Now that's sorry. Well, there I am trying to get through my show, and about every 15 minutes, this character comes up like the radioactive groundhog and says, "Boy, pick something by Johnny Cash." I said, "Sir, I'm a folk singer, an artist. I don't do that country stuff." He said, "She." Five minutes to end of my show. He comes up there, he says, "Boy, are you or are you not going to pick something by Johnny Cash?" I said, "Sir, I told you I'm a folk singer and artist. I do not play that country." And at the point, he reached in his pocket and pulled out something, threw it on the stage. He said, "Play something by Johnny Cash." I said, "Sir, I absolutely will not compromise." I looked, it was a $20 bill. I said, "I sell myself cheap." Hey, 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 hey.
Well, I hear the train a-coming around the bend. I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. Time keeps rolling on. And that train keeps a-moving on down to San Antone. Cheap tricks.
That's right.
Well, when I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. I shot a man in Reno to watch him die. That's 10 right there. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, all I do is cry and cry. Well, I bet there's rich folks riding in fancy dining cars. I bet they're drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. I know I had it coming, and I can't be free. 20. Well, those folks keep them moving, and that's what tortures me. They freed me from this prison and that railroad train was mine. I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison, where I'd like to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Okay, you know, you can't stay in the line of professional entertainment without having some yin-yang come up to you and say, boy, that's always the way they look when they use that word. They say, boy, boy, what do you really do? Did you get that? It sure disappoint my mama if she knew all I have to do was stand up here and people laugh. Yeah, it always happens after an encore or standing ovation, some kind of an ego bath, you know. Here he comes. Here he comes. Gamble, unless you and me talk some business. Sonic, you're pretty good. But you answer me this, boy. What are you going to do when you get out of school? And I'm here to tell you, my friends, whenever I'm faced with this kind of fulminating lunacy, I'm quite capable of bringing my laser-like wit to bear upon the object of my discomfiture, usually about 48 hours after I need it. I'm like everybody else. I can't think of the right thing to say at the right time. 38 hours later, I'm going through Charleston, South Carolina. Too late. But if you're an entertainer, you can always go back to the woodshed. That's the family inn or whatever, and put together a superbly crafted, perfectly articulated rejoinder. Hey, hey, hey. And then just bide your time and wait, because sooner or later you're going to see some yard bird come shuffling up in a pair of paisley print bib overalls and wearing bath sandals and white wool socks with monograms on them. Hey, hey. Give you that frozen face grin, say, "Gil, Homer Slife here, the S-L-I-F-E, that's life with an S, partner. Tell me, boy, you been doing this all your life?" I say, "Hey." Ooh, it's out of tune. The last guitar I'll ever buy at a Stuckey stand. Peyton Brothers are coming on just a minute. They gave me this string. Well, it worked, boys. It backfired. So much for the Las Vegas segue. Look him right in the eye, and what do you say? You say this. Good buddy, I didn't always pick and sing for a living. Nope, the first job I ever held in this wonderful world of ours was a door-to-door Bible salesman in Miami, Florida. Now, whenever you hear a bunch of salesmen talking, sooner or later you're going to hear them use the word mooch. M-O-O-C-H, mooch. Now, if a salesman uses that word, he's not talking about a freeloader. He's talking about a stone sucker. Yeah, a man who just can't say no to a salesman, that's a mooch. It's always easy to find the mooch where he lives if you're a salesman. The mooch generally resides in a domicile surrounded by a cyclone fence with a plenitude of signs on the lawn in front. No solicitors, no trespassers, beware of the dog, keep off the grass, no salesmen allowed, no Jehovah's Witnesses, no Rosicrucians wanted, Freemasons beware, and anti-vivisectionists stay out. But if you're in the selling game and you see a place like this, all you got to do is show up with the goods and the rest is commercial destiny. Well, they'll give you cash for one unit, write you a check for a spare, and lend you a thermos of lemonade to get you through the heat of the day. On the other hand, you come to a place with one sign in front. Beware of the dog. Give it a wide berth, because in all probability, they're harboring a Siberian timber wolf on the premises. My first day as a Bible salesman, I came to a place that had about 55 signs in front. I sailed in there like the ship of grace coming into harbor. Got halfway to the house and I heard something cantering around the side of the building that sounded like a Shetland pony in a flea collar. Suddenly I was confronted with a Brobdingnagian brindle stripe pit bulldog who must have weighed 190 pounds. Friends, he was carrying 65 pounds in his lower mandible. His dentures averaged 4.5 inches. His eyes were red-rimmed, baleful, and bloodshot. He came caterwauling over the green sward, obviously dedicated to the primitivistic proposition of separating my thoracic regions from my nether parts. I mean, I was scared. Now, they told us in Bible selling school, whenever you're confronted by a hostile animal, for goodness sake, don't show fear. An animal, they said, can smell a man's fear. Well, I pondered this insipid truism for a moment. Then I decided it's just a little bit hypocritical to try and act courageous when you're standing in a strange yard developing involuntary runs in your Gold Cup socks. Nonetheless, I took another step in the direction of the domicile. The flea bag hunkered down in a state of obvious intimidation. My confidence soared. I took another step, and he launched himself directly at my Adam's apple and came floating over the breeze like a malignant caricature of the Goodyear blimp, swaddled in a mammoth raccoon coat. Great God, what am I going to do? We're going to tear me limb from limb. Here he comes. Oh, boogie dog. Friends, I would like to leave my canine adversary in suspended animation and describe to you the merchandise we were selling that summer in Miami. Friends, was a big family Bible. It had a pebble grain monogahide cover with an 8x10 technicolor picture of Jesus on the front. Take it home and set it up in the corner, and those eyes would follow you all around the room. It had a 75-page concordance, a map of the travels of Moses and the lives of the saints. It was a bargain at $38 and weighed 14 pounds. Now I come before you this evening and readily admit that I am anything but a praying man. But in this moment of spiritual duress, I rolled my eyes heavenward in search of divine guidance. And suddenly the words of the scripture washed over my troubled spirit like balm. Simply this, that man is put on this earth to hold dominion over the animals and the beasts of the field. And so it was with a sense of immediate rectitude that I raised the good book on high and smote this deviant brute at the base of the skull with the word of the Lord. Causing him to undergo a religious transformation in midair. Suddenly his eyes were suffused with the joy that surpasseth understanding. He hit the ground in an attitude of supplication and instantly went into convulsions of ecstasy. Now, just between you and me, I flat knew I wasn't about to move any merchandise at that address with the family bow-wow going through terminal maneuvers on the lawn in front. So I got in my car and I drove off full of vainglorious pride. But I had scarcely reached the end of the street when I became overwhelmed with an abiding sense of contrition. Fearful of the injuries I might have visited upon that Pentecostal pooch. I turned about. Imagine my joy transcendent when upon regaining that sight of fancied triumph, I found my little buddy up on his feet again, taking the halting steps of a creature reborn. And I'm proud to say that ever since this turning point in his life, he has been a steady worshiper at the First Presbyterian Church on the corner there in Hialeah, Florida. Hallelujah and amen. Thank you.
He'll be back, but not tonight. Now let's welcome another fine group. John, Dan, Mike, and Lee make up this family group who play regularly at Silver Springs and appear all over Florida and out of state, and so forth and so on. Let's welcome now the Peyton Brothers from Jacksonville. They'll warm you up just as Gamble did.
Mike. Check. If I got anything on this mic, I can't tell. Yeah? Okay. All right. We'll play with it as we go.
Where is it? Red? I gotta have it. What is this? The car is green.
And we've got to say a special thank you to you for enduring this cold weather. I can't believe it's this cold. It's almost June, and here we're in the 50s tonight. We appreciate you folks staying with us for the late night affair here. We're closing things out this evening, I believe. And if we can keep our banjo player going, we'll stay with it. We'll try a couple of fast things. I think his fingers are a little bit numb, but maybe he can make it through. If you feel like it, clap your hands. Maybe we'll all get warmed up here late at night. Here's one called the Winsboro Cotton Mill Blues.
You better play some fast songs. That's all I
Lordy, Lordy, smooth and hard. Well, you know and I know you don't have to tell.
Good. They sound a lot better than the last time I heard them, which wasn't long ago. Yeah, they sound
Applejack. Well, that's an old song about working in a cotton mill. I guess you figured that out. Here's another song from that region of the country. This is from the Delta region, and it's an old song about a superstition that the black people in that area used to have, and maybe they still do. We can't tell you too much about it. I guess it's late enough. Yeah, we can tell you a little bit, I guess. Most of the kids are going to bed, and they don't know what all these big words mean. They're like me. I have trouble with anything like warehouse and mayonnaise and stuff like that. I don't understand them. But this is a song about adultery. And the people used to have a superstition that if you were going to commit that, you had to find a neutral territory. You couldn't do it at home. And they wrote a song about that, and the white people didn't understand the song for years. We didn't either. We sung it for 2 or 3 years before we found out what it was really about. It's called Make Me a Pallet on Your Floor.
Hey, I'm a bass player. I want to hear the bass. Right.
Make me a pad on your floor. Make me a pad on your floor. Make it soft, make it low, so the gal never know. Make me a pad on your floor. Make it low so the gal never know. Make me a pallet on your floor.
Make
me a pad on your floor. Make me a pad on your floor. Make it soft, make it low, so the gal never know. Make me a pad on your floor. Make me a pad on your floor. get along, so we gal never know. Make me a pallet on your floor. Make it soft, make it low, so we gal never know. Make me a pallet on your floor.
Thank you. We've got a song here by a contemporary writer that we not only enjoy, probably as much as any tune that we do, but we think it's very appropriate for this type function. One thing we like about the Folk Festival is it brings out a lot of the old tunes that you just don't get to hear anywhere else. They don't play this kind of music on the radio, the folk, bluegrass, and old-time tunes. So we like to do this one as sort of a song in tribute to all the folks who have preserved the music through the years. And we've found out in pursuing this as a career that it's not the way to get rich, that's for sure. And the folks that have done it because they loved it, not because they made lots of money off of it. So here in tribute to all of those is a song by a fellow named Michael Murphy. It's called The Cherokee Fiddle. The train pulled into the station, rolled up the sleeves, rising up the bow, fiddle upside down, orange blossom special. If you want to make a living, then you gotta put on a good show. When he smells smoke and the cinders, slick his hair back, open up his case. Played Cherokee fiddle, played for the whiskey. Good whiskey never let him lose his place. He was always there, playing for the miners. Devil's Dream was a tune they understood. Then he'd go back to Oklahoma and wait till the train was running and the weather was good. When he smelled the smoke and the cinders, slick his hair back, open up his case, played Cherokee fiddle, played for the whiskey. Good whiskey never let him lose his place. They're dressing up like cowboys, and the cowboys are putting leather and turquoise on. And the music is sold by lawyers, and the fools who fiddle in the middle of the station gone. Some folks say they'll never miss them. The fiddle screech like the engine brakes. Old Cherokee fiddle gone forever, like the music that the whistle on an old locomotive makes. So when you smell the smoke and the cinders, slick your hair back, open up your case, play Cherokee fiddle, play for the whiskey. Good whiskey never lets you lose your place. Good whiskey never lets you lose.
We did that for a fellow from Atlanta that we told him we'd do the whole show for him, and that, especially that one.
We're going to do one more and wrap things up for this evening. Reminder, I don't know how many of you folks are first-timers at the festival, but if you are, there are all kind of things going on this weekend. One thing we want to direct your attention to in particular, the workshops going on tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday. We'll be doing three. I think ours tomorrow afternoon is at 6 o'clock over at the, what do you call it over there? I can't remember. The old Marvel stage. Yeah, that's slipped by me there. But we'll be at 6 o'clock. There are all sorts of workshops going on, so check those out, and we'd love to have you join us for ours. We'll be trying to teach people a little bit about how we play bluegrass music, so join us then. We're going to do a song here to close out that's an old favorite, and we want to do this one especially for Cousin Thelma. She told us something we didn't know last time we were here about a fellow named Bascom Lamar Lunsford. And she told me earlier tonight she's got a book we've got to read that tells a little bit about his life. But he ran a folk festival in Asheville, North Carolina for many years and contributed much to American folk music. We think probably his biggest contribution to this is this song. Some of you probably know it. You can sing along with us and we'll wrap things up. Clap your hands and we'll all do a fast one here to wind up tonight. Here goes.
Down the road just from me, there's an old hollow tree where you lay down a dollar or two. You go around the bend and you come back again for a jug of that good old Mountain Dew. Well, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and then that refuted our few. I'll hush up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew. Well, my Uncle Bill's got a still on the hill where he makes him a barrel or two. The birds up in the sky get so drunk they can't fly from smelling that good old Mountain Dew. Well, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and in that refuted our view. I'll hush up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew. Well, my Uncle Mort, he is sawed off and short. He measures about 4 foot two. But he thinks he's a giant when he gets him a pint of that good old Mountain Dew. Well, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew. Well, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, that
are few. I'll
hush up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Come on.
What's going to happen?
Oh, just one more.
We don't know what's going on.
With another clogging team, the Windmill Cloggers from Ocala. They want to show us, they want to give you a little taste of what we'll have in store tomorrow. The Windmill Cloggers from Ocala. Aren't they beautiful? They're all beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
that, just to take the mics off. The mics off. Yeah, they are.
Thank you all. We'll meet you back here promptly at 10 o'clock in the morning. Good night, all.
Did it work? Which one? What do you mean? Do they fly? Is that what you're asking? Yeah.